This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director here in Lethbridge, Alberta, the promised land. Franco Terrazano is our federal director. He's at our embassy. Hey, Franco, in Ottawa. And Nicolas Gagnon is our Quebec director. Hi, in La Belle Provence. Thanks for joining us this episode. So we're going to go over a few things, but I wanted to start off with one of our favorite subjects. And every now and then, I wish the podcast could be our phone calls that happen earlier in the week. Franco and Nicolas, who wants to start off with the Governor General and how much that position is paid? And I think that they just got a big whopping pay hike, or there's one coming. What's going on?
So as you already mentioned, the Governor General is expecting to cash in another pay raise this year, actually the third pay raise in 3 years, or the sixth pay raise in 6 years. Basically, this year, $1,000 more every month, or $11,200. That's what Mary Simon will be able to bring back home, thanks to taxpayers again. And so that is thanks to the investigation from our journalist, Ryan Thorpe, that did some freedom to access information in order to get those details off. But yes, I think that many people might be shaking their head right now, wondering why would the Governor General have such a pay raise this year? Why would she receive a salary of $362,000 a year? The salary was already outrageous. To add the pay raise over it is even more outrageous. So I'm wondering, there's so many taxpayers right now. There's so many Canadians that are currently lining up in front of food banks that have lost from their perspective the dream of becoming house owner, and now they just learned that their taxpayers' money is sent to just increase the salary of the Governor General, and they don't know exactly how they will get a return on that. So yes, it is quite outrageous. But the worst part is that this is just the tip of the iceberg, because we know that the Governor General, as much as the former occupants of Rideau Hall, are still cashing in a lot of benefits, a lot of perks. And so this is just the tip of the iceberg. But sincerely, I think that nobody wanted to see that this year.
Hey, let me just break some of that down, because what you just said there, Nicolas, is absolutely crazy. So number one, the Governor General's salary is now like $363,000. As if we have to pay someone a $363,000 salary for a largely symbolic role. I mean, come on. The pay raise this year alone, 11,200 smackers. So like, in what world are taxpayers getting so much extra value from the Governor General to warrant almost an extra $1,000 every month, right? But as Nick says, like, this pay raise for the Governor General is happening year after year after year after year. And so Simon was appointed, I believe it was like around the summertime of 2021. So she's been in the role for less than 3 years. And over those less than 3 years, she's gotten three pay raises for a total amount of $34,000, bringing her salary now to $363,000. So that's a crazy amount. Nicolas, you mentioned that that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to all the crazy perks and expenses. So why don't you tell our listeners just what we're all paying for?
Where shall I start? Because there's a lot of them. But I think that the first that we can mention at this point is the pension. As we all know, the Governor General, and without regards for the number of years that they serve, they have access to a full pension of $150,000 a year as soon as they get out of office or at the end of the mandate. They have access to an expense account of up to $200,000, even up to 6 months after their death. And that is not just for Mary Simon. That is as true for any other former Governor General as well. And that is just to add, for example, the $130,000 expense account for clothes. Every mandate, the Governor General can spend $130,000 of taxpayers' money for new clothes. That doesn't make any sense at all. But you can also add to it the fact that there's a lot of foreign travel that is happening. We learned a lot about how the taxpayers' money was spent for up to $100,000 on catering food when the delegation of the Governor General was traveling in the Middle East, or when they spent $71,000 for ice limos to avoid to walk for 9 minutes when they visited Iceland in October 2022. So those are just the different perks that they have access to. Sadly, there's been a lot of requests for reforms from different organizations such as ours, and sadly, To this point, the politicians have been very blinded to that, or have not been able to provide real reforms to the institution.
I just wanted to put a point on what you just said there about the international travel. Okay, so for our listeners who understand the Commonwealth, who understand we are part of the Commonwealth, yes, Canada is a constitutional monarchy. We are not a republic. In order to get legislation passed officially into law, we literally need a royal stamp of approval on that. So the Governor General's role, regardless of what human being happens to be occupying that office, the Governor General's role is to be His Majesty the King's representative in Canada. In Canada. Meaning there is no reason whatsoever or need for the Governor General of Canada to go out and about abroad on the taxpayer dime. He or she could stay within the geographical territory of this country the entire term, never leave the country, and still do their job. Further, they have provincial counterparts. A lot of people don't know this. There are provincial counterparts of the Governor General in every single provincial capital. They also have to officially approve legislation. They do so, by the way, at a fraction of the cost of the federal Governor General. So for any folks who are saying, oh, well, what do you want to do? Throw everything away? No, you don't have to. Number one, you could leave all that fancy international travel up to His Majesty the King Charles III. And his descendants who are running things through the firm out of Buckingham Palace, right? The Windsors. She doesn't need to leave, or he doesn't need to leave, whoever the Governor General is, never needs to leave Canada. Further, they could do so way more economically, and they only need to use the provincial capitals as an example.
Hey, let me just piggyback on that one there, because like I often say this all the time. It's like, look, whether you're totally against the monarchy or you're totally in support of the monarchy, regardless of your position, can we just like all agree that a Governor General and her entourage spending $100,000 on airplane food is a complete waste of taxpayers' money? Like, remember, that's the story where the Governor General and her entourage were even dining on beef Wellington while they were in the air. And yep. I've been on airplanes before. I know you get a little bit hungry, right? Air Canada, WestJet. But let me tell you something, all right? You can't even get beef Wellington flavored chips, let alone the real deal, okay? Like, so as I always like to say, you know, wherever you fall in the monarchy debate, I hope that all Canadians can understand that, like, our Governor General and Rideau Hall in the office should be able to exercise some restraint and some common sense and to cut out this type of wasteful spending, especially at a time when so many Canadians are just struggling with the price of hamburger meat. But before we move on, I just also want to highlight some of the crazy spending that Nicholas said. He mentioned the annual pension of $150,000 a year, regardless of how long a Governor General serves in office. Now, the reason I'm looking down is I wanted to pull up some stats on my trusty phone here. So we have, what, 5 former Governors General. And if they continue to collect their pension to the age of 90, that'll cost taxpayers more than 18 million smackers. Now, let me highlight one other part here. As Nicholas said, it doesn't matter how long they serve, they still get the pension. So then you end up with problems like the Julie Payette pension problem, where she served in the role for a little bit more than 3 years. And if she continues to collect her pension to the age of 90, that'll cost taxpayers more than $4 million. Serve for a little bit more than 3 years, collect more than $4 million potentially. And the last one that I just want to highlight is the expense account, where a former Governor General can leave office, then still bill you, the taxpayer, for more than $200,000 every year for the rest of their lives and up to 6 months after they pass.
Franco, we appreciate those numbers, I think. I can speak on behalf of our listeners. You know, guys, it's one thing to say, oh, well, it's a waste of money. Okay. It's another thing to actually like pull out the calculator and start doing this math on behalf of Canadians and say, whoa, think of where that money could otherwise be spent, right? That money could otherwise be paying for nurses or police officers, or could be reducing your taxes. It could be going to all sorts of other things instead of going into pensions and lifetime office expenses for people who happen to serve as the Governor General. Do we want to get into our t-shirt? Do you want to show your t-shirt? I think this is a good time, Franco, okay, to bust out the t-shirt, okay, on how much Otherwise, Canadians could be paid to serve the role of governor general. Are we ready for this? This is how much this could cost it.
Yeah, and the reason we got this t-shirt, oh, let me just pull it up here, folks. This is like one of my favorite t-shirts. You can tell it's a little bit wrinkly because I wear it all the time. Can you see it?
I'd be governor general for a poutine. Is that how you pronounce that, Nicholas?
Well, that would be a poutine, actually.
it's Chris's Albertan accent kicking in. Yeah, I'd be governor general for a poutine. Folks, you can grab that shirt. Just head over to taxpayer.com, go to our store, and check out Rideau Hall's wardrobe. And the reason that we came up with these awesome t-shirts, I literally wear it way too much. Ask the girlfriend, she'll tell you. And the reason we came up with these shirts is because, look, it almost seems like the federal government thinks that we need to pay $363,000 a year to get someone to be the governor general. But like, I think there's so many more Canadians out there who would do it for far less. And I know our friend Nicholas would even do it for a poutine. Right, Nicholas?
Oh, I would do it for a beer, actually, or a loony at this point. I'm pretty sure that. And the funny part is that all of those nice ideas are actually on the website, on the taxpayers' website, on the Rideau Hall wardrobe. So yes, you have different ideas like that. But I would also do it for a double double, actually. A great double double at Tim Horton will definitely push me to become the next governor general. I would do it for just less than a coffee or two.
And, you know, the reason that, you know, we got these shirts, we already know that so many people are picking them up already, is like, we want to send a message. Yeah. Like, hey, guys, knock off the waste, okay? You don't have to be throwing out a $363,000 salary for this role. You could be having a governor general in Rideau Hall for far less money. So, I don't know. I think it's a really fun way to just send a message to the Trudeau government, say, enough is enough with these crazy salaries for these types of roles. We could do it for far less.
So for listeners who are saying, how could you possibly laugh at such a thing? This is a horrendous waste of money. This is depressing. We know, guys, we know this is a horrendous waste of money. But two things. One, you can either laugh or you can cry at the situation. We would prefer to laugh because otherwise you get pretty depressed pretty fast. And two, this is something that Franco keyed on in one of our last episodes. The elites, especially those in government, including bureaucrats, can't stand it when you mock them. They take themselves really seriously. Like they think they're a duke or something back in medieval times. They're not. So it is incumbent upon us, the commoners, to mock them, to laugh at them, to point out how absurd they are being, because it gets under their skin and it actually might make change happen. So folks, that is why we often employ humor here at the CTF. So speaking of something that's absolutely ridiculous, do we want to get in to this little puppet show, this song and dance that we had with the CBC, the CEO, and whether or not bonuses were going to happen? Who wants to take that one away, Franco?
Well, we should. Who wants to take that one away, Franco? Well, yeah, you know I do. We sure do want to talk about this, and they sure do keep cashing in on the bonuses. So, again, hey, huge shout out to Mr. Ryan Thorpe, our great investigative journalist. I'm a little bit biased, and don't tell him I said this, but I think he is the best investigative journalist in Canada. So to all our folks listening, this is just between us. Don't let Ryan know that I said that out loud. Okay, his head will get too big to fit through the door, and we can't let that happen. So folks, CBC handed out $15 million in bonuses in 2023. All paid for by you, the taxpayer. And what's so crazy about that context is, well, their president and CEO, Catherine Tate, has been running around crying poor, begging the government for more taxpayer cash. I mean, even in December, weeks before Christmas, Tate announced that they were going to be laying off potentially hundreds of jobs. So at the one hand, you have Tate crying poor, claiming the cupboards are so bare, but then also rubber stamping $15 million in bonuses? Like something is not adding up here, Simmer.
No. And to add to the spectacle, I just really need to put a point on this. This got so ridiculous, guys, that the CBC's national newscast, okay, not a lot of people are watching it anymore, but it's literally still called The National, right? It was being hosted that night by Adrian Arsenault, again, CBC employee. I'm not joking. She cited the Canadian Taxpayers Federation out loud on camera with her face to her boss while she's interviewing Catherine Tate. I thought I was asleep.
Like, I didn't have that on my bingo card.
Sure didn't. And so to her credit, she's like, well, you're laying off all these people, supposedly, right before Christmas. And we're hearing from the Taxpayers Federation that you're handing out bonuses. Are we going to confirm that's not happening this year? And Tate doubled down. She wouldn't answer. She skipped all over the place. It was a really terrible interview on her part. And then she went and did it about a month later at committee again. Did this little tap dance. So kudos to Ryan. Kudos to the team there at the CTF in the Ottawa Bureau who dug up the FOI saying, yeah, indeed, they did hand out bonuses. Again, folks, keep in mind the context here, okay? The CBC already at the time was getting around $1.3 billion per year, okay? They were already rolling in it while the CEO was going cap in hand, begging for more taxpayers' money. They were handing out these bonuses anyway.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, you know, I'm like, it's so ridiculous. And this is also just like the tip of the iceberg. We also got A-tips going back to 2015 that show that taxpayers have been on the hook for $114 million of bonuses paid out at the CBC since 2015. And, you know, it's not like Tate or the other bigwigs at the CBC are hurting. No. Far from the truth. So the CBC won't actually say how much Tate is paid. They give us a range for some reason. But Tate, her annual pay is somewhere between $470,000 and $620,000. And that includes, you know, salary, other benefits, and you guessed it, a big fat bonus. Now, we don't know exactly how much Tate's bonus is, but I've seen some analysis from other news organizations who say, well, you know, if Tate is in the upper range of that salary, well, her bonus could very well be in the six figures.
Yep.
So yep. It's kind of outrageous. And, you know, Tate should be able to do the right thing, you would hope, to end the bonuses, cut her own pay. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. So what we really need to see now is the finance minister step in and shut down these bonuses. And, you know, Freeland's next budget is coming on April the 16th. Well, in her last budget, she said she would find about $1 billion in savings in the Crown corporations over the next couple of years. Well, a pretty obvious way to find some savings is to end these taxpayer-funded bonuses at the CBC and the other Crown corporations.
I just finished writing a piece. I don't know when it's going to be printed. It was a bit of a deep dive, kind of a compilation of all of this stuff with the CBC and making the argument as to why we need to defund it. And some of the other elements that I found, thanks to Blacklock's reporter, okay, who don't take government money. They do great investigative journalism as well there in Ottawa. They dug up the fact, Franco and Nick, that the CBC will quite often say, right, what's their justification for existing? Oh, well, we provide vital programming for Indigenous Canadians that they can't get anywhere else. Well, Blacklock's reporter found this document and did the math, guys. They spent around $6 million-ish in change on Indigenous programming for one of their most recent fiscal years. That is 0.3% of their total funding. So, folks, next time you hear that justification, keep that number of 0.3% in mind. Further, this is what really got me during Tate's performance at the Heritage Committee. So we see the CBC ratings plummeting. Very few people are watching it, right? Tate had to, of course, admit this because it's a fact at the committee. But she said, we're making up for it through GEM, which is the CBC's online app portal for people to watch streaming services. Okay, what's the next logical question? How many people are subscribed to GEM? We don't disclose that. So there was this kid that I had in elementary school. He was a buddy of mine. He swore he could turn invisible, but only when you weren't looking at him.
Ah.
That's what this is like, guys. So we're not getting the accountability and we're getting all of these bills through the CBC. So again, thank you guys so much for doing this work in Ottawa, exposing the waste at the CBC because it lends our argument. It's time to defund it.
Hey, can I just give a shout out to the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters? So
yes, please.
And look, like I know like sometimes this kind of sounds grim, but I just want to like illustrate how your support is really making a difference here. So to start, no Canadian would even know of these bonus figures being paid out at the CBC if it wasn't for your support, which allows great investigative journalists like Ryan to dig up this type of information, because none of this is like publicly available in their annual reports. The only reason Canadians know about this is because the Canadian Taxpayers Federation got the numbers through access to information requests. And the second thing, like, Chris, you've been following this a lot longer and closer than I have from the media perspective. Like, when was the last time a president and CEO or a head of the CBC has been dragged into a committee to testify on bonuses?
No,
I've never seen that.
No, right. Actually, I've never seen it. It would have been considered like a little bit sacrilegious to even think of doing such a thing before. So yeah, but, huge.
But because of our CTF supporters who are allowing this work to be done, you actually had members of parliament bring the CBC head to committee, and members of parliament from every single party was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you handing out taxpayer-funded bonuses, especially given the context? Members from all of the different parties. And not only that, after this new round of bonus figures that we just put out were publicized, the Conservatives are trying to bring Tate back to committee to answer for the new round of bonuses. So all of that work is essentially because of you folks. I'm not even essentially, is because of you folks who support the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, who reach out to politicians and who are pushing all the time. So I just want to give a huge kudos and a huge thank you to all of our listeners and all of the supporters of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation.
Amen. It wouldn't be possible without them. Is that your taxpayer pro tip? Is that your your kudos, or do you have more lessons?
I'm going to double down. I'm going to double down and shamelessly plug my favorite T-shirt. Again, wow, beautiful.
Look at that. Did your cat sleep on that or no?
Well, he sleeps on everything. Yeah, Ludwig. He's a good guy.
Of course.
So, folks, shamelessly plugging again, head over to taxpayer.com, go to our store, visit Rideau Hall's wardrobe, check out the show notes. We'll include it. We'll include a link there and pick up one of these awesome shirts and send the government a pretty funny message that, hey, we don't need to be forking over $363,000 a year for a governor general. So just one more time, taxpayer.com, check out the store, visit Rideau Hall's wardrobe, or just check out the show notes.
Yeah, and snap a picture of yourself wearing the awesome shirt with or without your cat sleeping on you and post it on the interwebs, because we want to help mock them. Nicholas, what is your taxpayer pro tip? At the end of the show, we like to do a roundup and give folks some pro tips at the end of the podcast. What's yours?
Well, at this point, I think that the best pro tip I could provide is not just for taxpayers, but mainly to the bureaucrats at Rideau Hall. If they don't want to be mocked, I think that the best way for them is to be more transparent, more accountable. So I guess it's time for great bureaucrats in Ottawa to actually show what a responsible government is, and to make sure that the office of the secretary of the governor general is subject to freedom of information requests. All of the information that we have provided about the perks and the salary of the governor general were obtained thanks to I would say a lot of digging from our investigative journalists, but that work should not have to be done. It should already be transparent. It should already be provided all the time. And if they don't want taxpayers to mock them with a nice T-shirt, they should also try to, I don't know, cut on some of those expenses, abolish all international travel of the governor general, except for the meetings with the monarchy in London and UK. That is something that we are all expecting to happen. We just want them to understand the message. And if they want them to, you know, if they want to receive the message more clearly, I think that the best way for us to send that message is to have taxpayers to show that they would do that job for less than a poutine or less than a coffee or a loony or something like that. I think that mockery is a very good message for us. The best pro tip I could provide right now is for the bureaucrats. They must listen to taxpayers and they must take this very seriously.
Excellent pro tip. Mine is more Alberta based, but it concerns someone who I imagine is pretty popular with a lot of our listeners here on the podcast. And my pro tip is to Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. I think this is a safe place for me to admit. I know a lot of people really like the premier. I totally get that. I like her too. This is not personal, but she has got to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Do not raise your provincial fuel tax here in Alberta. Especially don't raise your provincial fuel tax here in Alberta on the same day that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is cranking up his carbon tax. Okay. Most Albertans love the pushback against Ottawa. They understand they're fighting the good fight on all sorts of different fronts, but you must maintain vigilance over your finances here at home too. So for folks who don't know what's going on, of course, on April 1st, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is cranking up his carbon tax. It's going to be going up at the pumps for gasoline and diesel. It's also going to be going up on stuff like home heating, on natural gas. What a lot of people don't know is that right now here in the province of Alberta, our provincial fuel tax is partially suspended. It's at 9 cents per liter. Well, during the last budget, they quietly noted they're cranking it back up to 13 cents per liter on April 1st. So that tax hike provincially at the pump is going to be more than the federal carbon tax increase. So do not do this. Number one, it's wrong. People can't afford it. People are really strapped, including here in Alberta. Number two, comms-wise, communications, this looks terrible. You can't just fight Ottawa verbally and then financially punish Alberta drivers. So this is my taxpayer pro tip. Please, directly to Premier Daniel Smith, pause this fuel tax hike. Don't go through with it. So that is my impassioned plea / taxpayer pro tip to the government of Alberta. You got to walk the talk too. Folks, are we ready to wrap up? Do you want me to send people along to our beautiful website, gentlemen?
Rideau Hall's wardrobe. Get your t-shirts.
And you can get Rideau Hall wardrobe if you've already got three of them and your cat's sleeping on most of them and you need another shirt. This one is really good too, because it kind of covers all of the bases. So folks, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com, click the t-shirt link there and push back with joy on the federal government. That's how you can help us stand up for taxpayers.